Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening. Hi, everybody. I am coming up now on 7 months of hosting this podcast. I hope you enjoy it. Please rate, review, and share the podcast if you like it so I can get more people exposed to the podcast. You can do this on Apple, iTunes, Stitcher, different other mediums where the podcast is, like Google Play. Please share it on social media and enjoy my next guest.
My next guest is Sherianna Boyle. Sherianna is an international emotional detox coach, author of 8 books, including her most recent Emotional Detox and Emotional Detox for Anxiety. She has a master's in education as well as a certificate of advanced graduate study in school psychology from the University of Massachusetts, Boston. Sherianna has been featured in over 85 articles and a featured presenter for renowned organizations such as PESI Behavioral and Mental Health Education, Kripalu Health and Yoga Center, 1440 University, Multi-University, and more. Her book, The Four Gifts of Anxiety, was endorsed by the National Association of Mental Health. She is an adjunct psychology professor and founder of Emotional Detox Coaching, servicing clients of all ages, backgrounds, and abilities virtually worldwide. She is a co-founder of CleanseLife.com, which features her Cleanse Yoga virtual video collection, emotional detox courses, and corporate wellness. Sherianna is a featured expert on Simple Habit App and host of Emotional Detox Radio Show on HealthyLife.net. She's married to her hometown hubby, KB, raising 3 daughters, living her best Cleanse Life. Welcome to the podcast, Sherianna.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Well, there have been more than one time, Dana. However, the one I think would be most appropriate is, I think, a time when I worked in the schools. Mm-hmm. When I was a school psychologist, I would often find myself in the trenches and overwhelmed. And I really realized that when I got pregnant with my first daughter and I took a leave of absence. And I think teachers know how hard you work when you know you're going to have to leave, mm-hmm. and when you have a substitute. Mm-hmm. And I think I was really over my head. I was pregnant, getting ready to have a baby, but at the same time, I was preparing someone else to take over my job. And I remember hiding in my office, literally. I remember going, oh God, please just don't let them know I'm here, because mm-hmm. I can't have one more thing on my plate. And I would see the principal and I would literally be like, okay, make sure I don't pass her today, because if I pass her, she's going to tell me something I got to take care of. So I would say that was in the trenches for sure. And how I came out of that was really this journey that I've been on ever since. And that mm-hmm. was years ago. That was back in 2000. My daughter was born. And when I left the schools, I didn't know I was leaving. I thought I was taking a leave of absence. Mm-hmm. But that would in turn turn into really collecting research and information on how to help people be more balanced and do those amazing jobs, because they're so important. And it doesn't have to be that way, is what I've learned.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what kind of took you out of working as a psychologist and then starting this journey in through emotional detox and, you know, helping people worldwide?
Well, what took me out was when I left the position to have my daughter, I didn't realize I was suffering from anxiety. Mm-hmm. I was so busy. Who had time to realize that I was anxious? I just thought I was really good at my job. Mm-hmm. People actually praised me for it, because I would get things done on time or early, because I couldn't stand the feeling of not having things mm-hmm. done or being behind scared me more than anything. And I think mm-hmm. we all feel that. What if I get behind in the curriculum, or what if I don't get it all in, or, you know, and so or what if I'm not meeting everybody's needs? Mm-hmm. So for me, it was recognizing I went on a journey of trying to help myself because I didn't feel well. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that I knew that is I went on an antidepressant, and that really didn't work. So I went on another one. I went mm-hmm. on 5 antidepressants in 1 year.
Wow.
Now, in addition, I'm a new mom. So this doesn't feel very good when you're a new mom and you're popping antidepressants and you're just feeling horrible about yourself, mm-hmm. right? Like, I'm a school psychologist. I should be able to handle this, right? And what I didn't realize, it wasn't the baby. It was the fact that this had been going on a long time. And mm-hmm. so what helped me out of it was, by the grace of God, those medications did not work. Mm-hmm. They made it worse. And so I had no choice but to find another way, because my liver results came back. They were starting to be affected. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I am way too young to be having these conversations with my doctor. Mm-hmm. So that's why I started saying, okay, I need to learn more mindful approaches mm-hmm. to handling anxiety. And that's what led to the first book. And then someone asked me to write a book for families and children. That was the Everything Parents Guide to Childhood Anxiety. And I wrote that. And then someone said, hey, you know a lot about mindfulness. Could you make it so that that book is all mindful? And so then I wrote the Conscious Parenting Guide to Childhood Anxiety, which is all mindful approaches. So it just kind of landed in front of me. People mm-hmm. knew I was interested. And back then it wasn't a big thing. Like, everyone's interested now, but when I was doing it, it was really the beginning of the curve starting to shift in a new direction. So I pulled myself out mindfully is mm-hmm. really how I did it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think kind of led to that curve shifting? I mean, I got more involved in, you know, meditation and just being more mindful. I would say probably around 2015. And, you know, I read the Jon Kabat-Zinn's, Mindfulness Stress Reduction Program book, and, you know, and did several retreats. But when do you think that curve started taking more shape in both education and other fields?
Well, I think it's still taking shape. I mean, I think when teachers like yourself or administrators, mm-hmm. I think they've really been the ones to help. I mean, the people like myself have been out there maybe teaching, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been teaching it for a while, mindfulness and things like that. But I think it really comes from, well, first of all, the science is there. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why you chose that program, because they have the science to back mm-hmm. up how it changes the brain, how it influences learning. And I think we're still in the curve, to be honest with you, because now I'm a psychology professor. And I still find it there, but we still have a ways to go. We're still not doing everything that we could be doing. But I think it's teachers who are willing to take material like this information on your show mm-hmm. and actually apply it. And I think that's where you're going to really see this curve get a little bit stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And an example, you know, something that I subscribe to, one of those Google groups in my district, is just a resource group for educators where almost daily they're sending out mindfulness videos and tips and tricks you can use with students. So, you know, hopefully other districts of listeners have things like that going on, or can start maybe a Google group where people just send out things that can be used with students and educators alike. So I wanted to talk a little bit about your book, Emotional Detox, and talk a little bit about how you think that would help educators who have already been dealing with toxic stress and anxiety prior to the pandemic. And for them, probably, you know, the uncertainty with the pandemic has increased that anxiety. So what would you advise them, and how will this book help them?
Well, emotional detox, there's two of them that are out there right now. There's the core book, which really lays the foundation for what exactly is an emotional detox. So mm-hmm. that one has the white cover. And then I wrote emotional detox specifically for anxiety. So it's called mm-hmm. Emotional Detox for Anxiety. And they're different books. They're the same approach, but they're different. They're very different. And so how it can help people. Well, I mean, I studied mindfulness for years. I actually owned a yoga studio at some point. I had many workshops, classes, retreats. I did it all mm-hmm. and many people working for me. And so I was exposed to all this stuff. What really, really helped me was when I wrote this book. Mm-hmm. And the reason is I find you can have a collection of tools, but we have to remember that our emotions are, we're not trying to get rid of them. And mm-hmm. I think for years, I actually thought that, right? So I would take mindful tools and I would use them to kind of make myself better or mm-hmm. get rid of mm-hmm. something that I didn't want in my life anymore. And it really wasn't until I started researching emotions, what they are, how they work in the body, how they serve us, that I realized that's not what we're doing at all. Mm-hmm. So emotional detox, the foundation of it is based on this. All emotions are good so long as you process them.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no bad emotion in the emotional detox perspective,
mm-hmm.
so long as you process them. And so I think I describe it in the book like food. Mm-hmm. If you're eating food that is layered with pesticides or chemicals, mm-hmm. it's not going to be as good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's the same thing with emotions. If they're layered with toxicity, meaning reactions, mm-hmm. thinking patterns, belief systems, anything like that, they're not going to be as good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So emotions, when they're in their purest form, are incredibly nourishing to your mind and to your body and to your students.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to emotional detox, we're not getting rid of the emotions, we're getting rid of the reactions. And so in many ways, we're doing a lot of unlearning mm-hmm. because many of us learned, and I remember teaching as a school psychologist, and about emotions, how they look in someone, we label them, mm-hmm. but then we stop there.
Yeah.
This is what an emotion looks like. This is what the label is, but we don't really take them through an emotion to show them how to process it. Mm-hmm. And so that's what emotional detox does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And before we started recording, we did a little bit of emotional detox on me and
yes.
just cross-tested a little bit of anxiety I have about headaches. And, you know, I think just kind of identifying, like you said, I was kind of on the fence, right? And you told yes. me to ground my feet mm-hmm. in a place, you know, where I felt peace. Mm-hmm. And I think just when you, you know, say, you know, I think that was something that really spoke out to me, was just like, you know, if your emotions are kind of on the fence, that you think, or you're worried about something, like you came out with that. I'm using that phrase, I think, a lot, right? Cause mm-hmm. it's that uncertainty of if something worse is going to happen. Right. So, yeah. So describe, that grounding, that, yeah. you know, that you help clients do, with their emotions, because I think it's interesting how you said we can't get rid of those emotions, but if we ground ourselves and you know, in that stable place,
yeah,
and then we're able to deal with them better.
Yeah. So in emotional detox, there's a 7-step process mm-hmm. and it's in the acronym of CLEANSE.
Mm-hmm.
So you start with the C and you end with the E and they build on each other. So what Dana is referring to is that I just took her through the 7 steps.
Mm-hmm.
before we started recording, and she wanted to focus on her headaches, right? That what's contributing to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I find is that my job as an emotional detox coach is to help people become aware of how they're suppressing their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways that I discovered with her, the way she was suppressing, is the language she uses. For one, mm-hmm. she keeps herself sort of one foot in one area, one foot in another area. And a lot of people do that. It's like, I'm moving forward, but I'm not moving forward, yeah. kind of thing. Right. And they keep themselves in this stuck place. And then you have to deal with that. You have to manage that. And I think some of what the way she manages it is there's a lot of tension mm-hmm. that builds up in her body as a way to handle that. And I particularly felt with Dana, which I think is happening even to our children, is that tension gets in her shoulders. And mm-hmm. Do you get tension in your shoulders? Do you find your shoulders go up?
Yeah. And I just had a massage the other day. It had been a while, but you know, after I can really tell, like when I really need that massage, because my shoulders yeah. just feel so tense and knotted. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that of course will knot up the neck, right? Mm-hmm. And then that can kink everything up, and then you can get headaches. Headaches are also a sign of pressure, you know, mm-hmm. just feeling pressure and then storing pressure. So those are some things that she became aware of in just a few minutes. By the way, the cleanse only takes about 7 minutes. I mean, I think ours was about 7 minutes mm-hmm. once you get to know the steps, and then really helping guide people. Okay, this is how I'm suppressing. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm releasing so that I can now start to do what she was describing. Mm-hmm. I can start to have the experience of what it's like to be grounded. But you can't do that by circumventing mm-hmm. the processing, right? Mm-hmm. You can sort of imagine it and it might temporarily work. But if you really want to feel rooted, because I mean, you felt pretty grounded after, and mm-hmm. I still feel like you're holding the energy, and that's probably all your work that you've done till now. She's able to hold it, because I can usually pick up on people that are losing energy at a rapid rate. Mm-hmm. And so that just means, when I say losing energy, it means they're just starting to shut things down again. Mm-hmm. We shut down our emotions all the time. Mm-hmm. Right? We shut them down, like just like we shut the door. And when we do that, we then the wear and tear.
Okay.
So it puts a lot of wear and tear on your mind and your body. So some of these systems are running consciously and some of them are running unconsciously. And so as a coach, if I'm working one-on-one with someone, I'm usually helping them really make connections, not just from what they're suppressing now, but also how it's connected to their past. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these systems are learned or they're a result of unresolved experiences when we were growing up. And a lot of this comes from my research on trauma. So when I was researching emotions, I did a lot of looking into emotional trauma and what happens with that. So that's how the system got designed.
Yeah. And it's so interesting to see, like, you know, now that we've had so much more of trauma-informed practices in school, and educators have become much more aware of how students react. You know, a lot of that goes back to the trauma that they endured, but also just with adults, right? That we're carrying either these traumas from the past, or we're carrying these mindsets, I think, a lot of the time. Just maybe this negative self-talk, or this, like you said, kind of on the fence thinking, or this I'm not good enough thinking, or, you know, a lot of various types of things that adults are just dealing with. And that kind of builds up and makes us have that toxic anxiety, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, it does build up. And I think it's, we're at a point now where we can't hide it anymore, mm-hmm. right? I mean, COVID, if anything, has brought out a lot in people that were able to just kind of get by and keep their work and their personal life very mm-hmm. separate and mm-hmm. neat and tidy. I'm okay. I'm strong at work, but really I'm falling apart here, mm-hmm. right? Or vice versa. I think what COVID has done, it's really brought to light people that weren't taking care of themselves mm-hmm. or not addressing certain things, really can't hide anymore. And I know that's scary for some people, but that's some of what's happening is we're going to learn we can take advantage of this mm-hmm. and really start to, we already were starting to learn new things, but now that we have an opportunity not to be in the building,
yeah,
right? Some of us are not in the buildings, or at least not full time. What the advantage of that is, you're not in the throes of a trigger, right? So it's kind of nice. And you'll notice that some children are doing well right now. You've got mm-hmm. some children that are not doing well, that don't have enough support mm-hmm. and are not, this is not okay for their learning. And then you have some children that are feeling better. And it's because the, some of the whatever was triggering them has been removed,
yeah.
right? So if they were anxious, they now don't have a lot of that in front of them. So we could take advantage of that, and we clear out a lot of these outside influences, kind of get centered a little bit and grounded, like you said, before we go back in. And I'm imagining my daughter was, you know, I have three daughters, and my youngest one was asking me the other day, she said, Mom, you know, I don't think we're going to go back full time in January. And, and I reminded her, and I think this is important for all of us. I said, I really don't think it's going to be in one full swoop. My guess is they're going to do it gradual. You know, they're going to gradually, and that's a good thing. And that's something, if it isn't on people's minds, we have to be, again, like you said, we're trauma sensitive now.
Yeah.
You're not going to just be like, okay, light switch. We're back in, guys. Let's go. Get it back going. We're, you know, because for teachers and for kids, that's going to be too much when we've been extracted for so long. We're going to have to tread lightly and be really kind and gentle and compassionate along the way. And that's a really good thing.
Yeah, and I think a lot of students have learned kind of a lot more about kindness throughout the pandemic, and reaching out to others, and just the need for, you know, helping others, volunteerism, and those type of things. I wanted to also talk a little bit about your podcast. You have an emotional detox podcast. So let me know kind of how many episodes you're in, and how often you release new episodes, and where people can find your podcast.
Yeah, the podcast is great. So I have two. One is, I have Emotional Detox Radio. I'm on the radio once a week. And that's through a platform called healthylife.net. And healthylife.net is incredible. They're a platform that's all about positive talk, which is great. And that we're inundated, talk about toxicity. Just watch the news, right? You're not going to find that on healthylife.net. It's all about positive. You're also going to find alternative viewpoints there that sometimes the mainstream doesn't want you to know about. And yeah, there's other shows on there besides mine. But so that's Emotional Detox, runs once a week. And there's it's available as a podcast. So you can go to healthylife.net, but I would go through my website. So if you go to my website, which is sherriannaboyle.com, and you hit podcast tab, you're going to see I have a podcast, and you're going to see the shows right there. And I think there's about maybe 25 shows there.
Okay.
And that's just me recording. And then you're going to see a link to healthylife.net. Now the podcast that I record on my own, which is also called Emotional Detox, is being reinvented for January. And I will be doing that with my friend and business partner, Sarah Nitsch. And what we're going to be doing is, we're going to be doing pre and post cleanses.
Okay.
So we're going to be having pre-post conversations about emotional detoxes. It's going to be great. So either one of those, you're going to get a lot of information, but I would just go through the website.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this is something that would be beneficial for educators kind of as we wrap up the 2020 year and, you know, start a new calendar year in 2021 and kind of looking at reinventing, you know, starting those New Year's resolutions, which kind of falls at the time you're also starting a new class on January 10th called Manifesting. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So when I wrote Emotional Detox and then Emotional Detox for Anxiety, I wrote it because I'm, you know, that I just, I'm aware of the laws of the universe. Okay. So I made sure when I developed the, I call it the cleanse method, every single step aligned with the law of the universe. Mm-hmm. I also made sure that because I wrote a book before that called Mantras Made Easy. So I understand the power of a word and the vibration of a word. So I made sure that every single step lined up with vibration. Mm-hmm. So what I didn't know was going to happen, I'm thinking, okay, I'm coming up with a system for releasing reactivity so people can process their emotions. Mm-hmm. And it works extremely well. But what I didn't know is I was also creating a method for manifesting. So I take those same seven steps and I teach people how to manifest. And that's what we're going to be doing in January. So it's going to be 8 classes. It's only going to be 1 hour once a week. We are going to do one emotional cleanse. Mm-hmm. We are going to do one manifesting cleanse. And I'm going to teach you things that I never learned about manifesting that I now know from processing my emotions. Because when you process your emotions, you gain wisdom. You gain insight that you don't normally get from the day-to-day, and you're really not going to get it from the academic. No one's going to teach it to you in that way. Mm-hmm. It comes from within. So I'm going to share with you some common ways that people sort of interrupt manifesting and how to enhance it. And that will be starting January 10th. And again, you just go to my website, sharianaboyle.com, and you're going to go under classes and you're going to see it right there.
And you talked a little bit about in the pre-chat how, you know, the it's also taking that mindset, right? It's laying out, you know, exactly, you know, how you're going to live with kind of a detoxing your emotions and having clarity about what you're anxious about. So kind of tell me how, you know, is shifting that mindset, is that something that is gradual, usually takes place over time? Or if somebody attends one of these classes, are they able to kind of take on that new mindset in that 8-week period? What is your experience with
clients? Yeah, yes, they do. I mean, it's extremely powerful when you cleanse in a group and of people, and it's powerful even just to do it with one other person like myself. I've had people that have jumped on board without any prior knowledge or not reading the book, and they catch on pretty quickly. And they, all of a sudden, they're realizing that they're pretty intuitive, you know, which is kind of fun to see, because, you know, when you're not blocking your emotions or avoiding them, what happens is you're able to get the inner guidance and you're able to start to follow your heart and trust what you feel. And that's a confidence builder, right? Mm-hmm. When you're not comparing yourself to other people or worrying what people think anymore, or trying to, you know, make sure you don't get in trouble or whatever it is, that's a game changer. Mm-hmm. So I think it's also very nice to be with a group of people that is really to support one another and is really, you find a camaraderie that's different than the regular world, right? Mm-hmm. It's non-competitive. I think people we don't have a lot of that, right? Where people that really just want the best for us and that want you to shine. And that's the kind of feel you get when you show up to a group like that.
Well, tell me a little bit about what you have coming up next. You talked a little bit about another book to be released in the fall. And also, you know, there's also something in the works for maybe in the summer. And we were talking in the pre-chat a little bit about getting back and having you on the podcast and you know, kind of the back to school. So let's talk a little bit about kind of what you
have
in the future.
I know. Can you believe we're talking about next fall?
Yeah.
It's not even Christmas yet, but that's okay. well, it's good for people to know, because then if once we're connected, So next fall, I wish it were earlier, but coronavirus really slowed the publishing world down. And so I have a book coming out called, it's also Emotional Detox, but this one has 135 self-guided practices. Mm-hmm. And what I did was I wrote, out 135 cleanses for every single area in your life you could ever imagine, but you know, love, health, finances, you know, if you had a day where somebody yelled at you at work or whatever is going on, I'm sure there's going to be a cleanse there that you can do. And it's really exciting. After I wrote the book, I was cleansing, of course, along with it. Mm-hmm. My life changed big time. And I know it was from writing that book. Things that I didn't realize weren't good for me left. Mm-hmm. And it's quite interesting because you can't always see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so new doors and opportunities opened. And I know it was from that book. Mm-hmm. And so my life before the book and now is incredibly different because I released so much and opened up. So that will, you know, maybe we were talking about next summer, that will be, you know, getting ready to take that back to school. So just know you're going to have tools even more tools and resources to take with you for, you know, when you're getting ready for 2021. So just kind of do your best to take care of yourself right now and be kind to yourself. And through this process, we're all sort of in this transition, you know, it's just happens to be kind of a long one, yeah. Right? But it does serve a purpose because it's kind of like, it's like processing. It's like we're in baking mode. We don't know what the outcome's going to be, but we know it's going to be better than we think. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. And I think people kind of know that inside. It's going to be better than you think because there's no way in heck, you know, we can go back even if we wanted to. Mm-hmm. People are just more mindful about their health, about whether they have a cough, how close they stand next to someone, whether they wash their hands. I mean, we're never going to go back to not becoming aware of some of those things, which is kind of a good thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think people will also, or even now, they're just taking on a new appreciation for those simple things in life. And, you know, just going through a hard time, I think, changes people, whether it's, you know, a time when you were younger in life or, you know, just a learning experience. So this has kind of been a global learning experience and, you know, everybody's reacted differently, but I think just, you know, when we have some of those basic things that we expect, like, you know, indoor dining taken away or, you know, the possibility to go in-person school taken away, I think, you know, having that appreciation when things go back to whatever the new normal is, you know, that hopefully people, you know, the world will be a better place, right? That, you know, I think there'll be more understanding of, you know, kind of the trials that others are going through. Just yesterday I saw how, you know, a lot of just worldwide different celebrity chefs and people like that are just funding a lot of these, you know, campaigns to feed the hungry in India and Africa, so much more, you know, giving a lot of, a lot more attention than maybe otherwise we would have had, just because we know that the rate of people that are hungry has gone up with COVID. So, you know, I hope that people don't go back to just, you know, living their lives and thinking that, you know, they have it all, but, you know, and just kind of think about how it is for everybody else. I mean, we're lucky in the US that, you know, we'll be some of the first to get the vaccine, but I mean, there's going to be a lot of countries out there where, you know, it's going to be a good year or so after the vaccine comes out. And I think, you know, if we can contribute in some way to the, you know, the places that are less fortunate, whether it is donations or, you know, when we can travel to go and volunteer in those places. So out of everything we discussed today on the podcast, what's one thing in particular you'd like listeners to remember?
Well, like I always say on the radio show, I end my show with this line, and it's your emotions matter, processing them matters more. And I'd like people to know that your emotions are a resource. So mm-hmm. even if you're feeling like you could use more money and this and that, mm-hmm. your emotions are a resource for all of that, for mm-hmm. for change, for connection, for peace. And so I'm hoping that people start to consider turning to their emotions more often mm-hmm. as a source of comfort and support, because they really are, when they're processed, when they're left unprocessed, then they can be a real pain in the butt, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But take time to process, and that takes time to get to know, then more and more you're going to realize that they're really designed to help you. And when they can help you, that really helps everybody else, because people feel that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great words to end with. And where can people find you online and connect with you?
Well, again, sharianaboyle.com is my primary website, which is where my books are, my coaching, my classes, all of that. And then cleanselife.com is where I put yoga videos, because I've been teaching yoga for about 19 years. Mm-hmm. And I put the cleanse, I do emotional detox in every class. So people get to be guided through while they're doing yoga. And I actually include fitness, because I'm a big fan of fitness, meaning move your body. For anxiety, we have to move. And so that's all on cleanselife.com.
Great. I'll put those in the show notes. Well, thanks so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast. It was great to find more about emotional detox and, great talking to you and seeing how you can help other educators.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for bringing this out to the world.